Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Ardent Run Club. I'm Tommy, I'm your host, and today I'm joined by a runner from the Northeast. He's one of the founders of Tyne Bridge Harriers, and he is here to tell the story of how it all began. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Paul Hilton.
Thank you, Tommy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good, man. Hey, I've been looking forward to chatting to you. Thanks for agreeing to do this. Yeah, it's I think it will be so interesting to hear the story about Tyne Bridge Harriers, about the club, how it got started and over the years and all that sort of stuff. So thank you for taking time out of the day to chat to me. Really appreciate it.
No problem. It's as best as I can remember it anyway.
Okay, and, cool.
I've been looking back through on my website and also
the history,
the journal that I got from one of my friends, David Daniels, his brother, made like a journal of the early days in Tyne Bridge Harriers.
So I think it's going to be pretty interesting, to be honest. And there's a number of people who run for Tyne Bridge who listen to this podcast, who've been on the podcast as well, and so I think it would be just so good to hear the story. So thank you, thanks once again. But before we get into that, I think it's good always to get a background on whoever I'm getting to chat to. So Paul, let's chat a little bit about your running. What got you into running, when you started running, and then we'll just go from there. So yeah, what got you into running?
I mean, if you're talking about this time round, because I used to run it at school.
Okay.
But then, I mean, I left school and, you know, started working and got into the normal Geordie traditions of going out drinking and messing about in pubs and things like that. So I sort of left them alone right up until 2001 it was. And I had my daughter and I was out of shape, you know, and I used to think back then about how much I used to enjoy the running. So I got back into running in 2001, just running on my own. And then I bumped into my friend who was actually out running, who thought the same as me and wanted to get fit after all these years of being unfit, you know, the lifestyle we're leading. So me and Derek Reed joined Walls End Harriers in 2001, and we started running there, you know. So from 2001 to 2004, I got fit and I was running, but in 2004, I mean, I'm in my 30s at this point. 2004, I again lost the motivation and I stopped. And then it was 2008, I restarted again. And that's when I really got the bit between the teeth. And that's when I met, like, most of the founders of Tyne Bridge Harriers today.
Wow. So, yeah. And so was your running... Were you doing any races, or was it mainly just about staying fit, getting fit and staying healthy?
Well, I mean, when I was at school, I used to win my cross-country races within the school.
Yeah.
I didn't used to train as quick. I used to play a little football. So I was just sort of, like, from the fitness I used to gain from football training, it must have obviously rubbed off on the running. So I used to do that, and then I used to represent the school in the North Tyneside cross countries, and I used to come pretty high up then. So, you know, I was sort of probably got a bit of natural ability, but then I think you have if you're active and you're young and you haven't got much sort of, I think you're automatically fit, you know. But I got the zest for it, really, when I seen other people getting fit and getting improving.
Right.
And I thought to myself, I wonder, as a goal to myself, I wonder how quick and how better I could improve myself.
Yeah.
So that's where the motivation came from, you know.
Yeah. Well, I that sounds like it's like really deep motivation, because a lot of people will they'll say, I want to get fit and healthy and everything, and they'll get really good at running, but not many people start a running club out of that. So I'm guessing the passion was more so than just about improving. Like, why did you want to start a running club from that?
Well, when we're 8, It was at this at the World's End Harriers. We more often than not, we used to tend to do our own sessions. I mean, probably about 4 or 5 of them. The likes it was likes of Kenny McPherson, who you know about. Dave Daniels and Sean Kelly, who were at World's End, but a lot of the times we used to meet at my house. And sometimes down the coast, down at Kenny's and Sean's, and do our own sessions from there. You know? So we'll do our own sessions and run together in a group rather than go to any club or anything like that. I mean, if we're racing, we'd still be representing club teams, you know, but
yeah,
we used to more often than not just train ourselves. More like running among, well, pretty much all of, about the same standard of running as well. So that made it good, you know. Would like sort of spur each other on.
But then, what kind of prompted the move from World's End? Because if you're running for, you're wearing the vest on the Saturday or the Sunday, and you're training with your own group. I mean, that kind of sounds like what some of the training groups do up here anyway. So, what kind of took you to the next level of saying you wanted to start a club?
It was one Sunday morning in late 2010. We're out for a long Sunday run. So, I mean, like, if you ask any runners, traditionally on a Sunday, it's the long run, you know. So we had met at Maine and we're running through the pedestrian tunnel. Me, Kenny McPherson, Sean Kelly and David Daniels. And Kenny McPherson, I remember where we were running along South Shields dockside. And he came out with this idea about, he says, why don't we start our own running club? And we said, well, how are we going to do that? And we just thought, we didn't really think much more of it. But then the idea just kept on coming up every time we were running. So we started making inquiries on how to go about it, you know. And then we found out we had to have a committee to make a running club. And then right at the same time, we had a meeting at David Moyer's house, who was now sort of very much head of the junior section. He sort of started this junior section of Cambridge Harriers off. So I had a meeting at his house about something different. But then again, this idea came up about why don't we start our own running club? So from from Kenny's idea, from asking like the putting this idea over to the three, we're about starting a club up. From the four, it went to like, I think it was about a dozen at Dave Moyer's house in Gosford. And he's actually got a plaque up to say the birthplace of Cambridge Harriers.
Really? Nice.
Wall, yeah. So from there, that's when all the inquiries started about, you know, we had enough then to make up a committee, because I think you had to have a minimum of 12 people
right.
in the committee. So, and that's when we're seriously knuckled down before this idea is actually going to work, you know. It's not just going to be an idea, it's going to be for you.
Yeah, wow. And so what was the transition like from just running as a group of four to actually being like, okay, this is official, we need a committee of 12 and we've got that now, and now we actually have our club. What was that initial phase like?
Well, what we had to do, we had to get in touch with UK Athletics, and they were like the governing body that we chose to go through to start the running club up with. And they laid down like certain rules. And one of the things what we had to do was, what was the name of the club going to be? So we all had a meeting that, and I think what we've done, we had all put names down on a piece of paper and put them in a hat. And then we all took them out and we're going to like just call it whatever the name was going to be. But I mean, some of the names was, if I remember, Riverside Runners was one suggestion.
Okay.
The runningclub.com. Here's another suggestion.
Okay.
Time saves people. Someone else just, you know, then.
Yeah.
A lad called Derek Reed came up with the name Timed Rich Harriers. Because first of all, we applied to be Newcastle Harriers, but UK Athletics wouldn't allow it to be Newcastle Harriers. They had that own reason for that. I think it was something to do with in the early days that they didn't want a club to take the name Newcastle in case it became, I don't know, in,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's the football team or something. I don't know. They had their own reasons where you weren't allowed to be called Newcastle. I think Elzic might have tried to be Newcastle, I might be wrong, but they wouldn't allow them, like years and years ago, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But then you guys settled on Tambridge Harriers.
Yeah, so that was it. That was the name. We all agreed that it was a great name. And to be honest, I think it's the way it's worked out, I think it's actually turned out the perfect name from where we're being, from what, you know, from everyone knows that we're a Northeast Run club when the term, the name Tambridge Harriers, you know. So
yeah, exactly.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. And remind me, what was the year that was all done?
That was, it was 2011, January 2011.
January 2011. Happy days. That's so cool. Actually starting your own running club. And must have felt really... Go ahead.
I was going to say, none of us thought it was going to become as big as what it has.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that then. Let's talk about that journey. Like, how, because you said you had 12 people on the committee. Firstly, how many people are in the club now?
At the moment, I think there might be about 400. That's including juniors, somewhere around that. We have got the 500, like more than 500 in years going by, like before COVID and things like that. But I mean, still massive amount of numbers starting from where we did back then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
because, you know, like the people who were coming in I had a banner made that I took to Newcastle Park Run that I placed on the gates there, you know, and I was asking for runners to join this new running club, you know, and
how'd that go?
Put advertisements in the Chronicle, in the grassroots section of the Chronicle for wanting people to do this new Tamebridge Harriers Running Club. Flyers, we had flyers made. I was putting them on, because I worked on Nexus. I was putting them in metro stations. I was putting them in places at work, you know, just getting the name out there and just making people aware that what we were, you know.
Yeah, wow. That's so crazy.
I think it was a perfect storm, really, as well, because Facebook was just sort of gathering pace as well. That was becoming big, you know.
Yeah.
Social media.
Mm.
We made up the Facebook group Tamebridge Harriers. I mean, I think it's got about 1,600 or 15, no, well over 1,000 members.
Wow.
On the Tamebridge Facebook group. And our website, a lad called Rob Kirtley, who was one of the founders as well, he'd done a great job with our website, and that was a massive recruiting tool, that. And it still is, you know. Click on that. I don't know if you ever have, but it's such an amazing website, you know. And at the time, it was sort of really modern compared to other running websites, you know. So if people clicked on a Newcastle running club, our name would probably come up, you know.
Yeah.
And plus the way we were based, or where we still are based, is the East End Pool at Beggar, which is next to like public transport, you know, metro stations or buses on Shields Road, you know. So it was just really just the perfect storm, you know, for our club to become so big.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So have you been based there since the start?
Yeah, we've had a lot of threats that were going to be booted out of there.
Really?
Probably because we got so big, you know. You had customers that were wanting to go to the gym using like the bike, complaining that you know, there was too many were there, and So we used to meet at the pool side in the pool, but now we've got a room, which is just as you go into the pool on the left-hand side. It's just like a small room that they've set aside for that we can use, you know. So.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. And so when you, so in the early days then, you obviously leave Wall's End, and I'm assuming you start running for Tunbridge Harriers. When was the first time you were able to start actually taking part in events like the other clubs do?
I mean, I think from memory, I think we had to be UK Athletics affiliated first. So I think it took a couple of months before it would actually before the club became like known as as an actual running club. I mean, I remember trying to submit with to relay races and things like that, you know, like the 12-stage road relays, and
Yeah.
there's a drop-down menu for clubs, and we didn't even exist, so I had to get in touch with these organizers to say, yeah, we're a new club, you know, and we
Yeah.
need to be we'll be put on the drop-down menu so we can enter these races, you know, like so it was having to go through things like that, go through like administration processes, you know, to get the club on the map, if you like.
Yeah.
I'm at the first race that I can remember going away with the club is the Thirsk 10 mile, which I think
Yeah.
was about March, April,
Yeah.
2011. And there's a great photo of with a bus that we hired with the banner on the side, you know, there's about eight or nine were there from the club there, you know, and
Nice. Yeah.
it's a really good picture of her.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Memories, huh? It must be really, really good to think back at that. Because obviously, we just had the first 10 miler this weekend gone. And you have a few athletes down there again. It's just like crazy to think. Must be crazy to think of what how it started versus how it's going at the same sort of event and all that sort of stuff, which is really cool. Yeah.
I mean, I remember we had said to each other, why don't we get a t-shirt made, a Tamebridge Harriers t-shirt made for the 50th member?
Yeah.
So we said, we'll do that because it's not going to get much bigger than that, you know what I mean? So we got one for the 50th member, and then we got about 90 members after that, and we said, well, we're going to have to get one for the 100th member.
Yeah.
So the 100th member came, and then they got presented with a 100th member t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
And we stopped making them after that because we were thinking, you know, how many t-shirts we've got to put
200,
on
300. Yeah.
there.
Just starts to add up. That's so funny. Yeah. Wow. That's really good. And when you look at these races that you've been to, then what would you say your favorite or most memorable one with the club has been?
And for me personally, it's the Heaton Memorial 10K in 2011. Now, we never knew that there was a trophy to win. So it was after the event, we had won the team event. Like after the race, we had found out that we had won the team prize. So a couple of days later, Kenny rang us up. He says, George Rowledge has just given us this huge trophy for winning the Heaton 10K Memorial Race. He
Nice.
says, I'll bring it over to yours now. So Kenny knocks at my door and comes in. He says, I remember at the time, he says, I feel like Alex Ferguson, you know, presenting the trophy to like the captain and so he gave us this trophy, and it's like the most magnificent trophy I've ever seen, you know. And well,
Wow.
it's like it's three soldiers, and it's bronze. It's big. It's a ton weight, you know. We went on to win it three, four times in a
Wow.
row after that, you know. But the best thing about that race for me was the I out sprinted Son and Harrier right at the end. I didn't know, right, that what was going to happen because of that. Was that they were in the lead. If I hadn't beat this Sunderland guy at the finish, Sunderland would have won. But because I beat this, I was fourth counter for the team, and I beat their fourth counter.
Yeah.
So I won the team prize, and there's a great photo of me.
That's awesome.
Over at the end, but so I'm like the hero of the day, but I didn't know at the time. But I'll take it anyway.
Take it anyway, yeah. And then you got to keep that lovely trophy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
For a year, it's got my name on so many times now, you know, by the years.
That's so good. I love the team aspects of these events and these races. It's not only, like, it's great that it's individual and you're running for a time and a PB or to enjoy it, etc. But then when you find out there's that sort of team aspect to it, that just makes it even better. Yeah, makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
On the other side of that, is there an event or a race that has just gone absolutely badly, really badly for TBH, for Tonbridge Harriers?
Well, I could remember hiring a bus going down to Knowsley Park in Liverpool, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for the cross country relays, the national cross country relays.
Yeah.
I had a couple of teams. So I'd hired this bus off a friend of mine. And, that's his business. He hires buses and coaches out. Good friend and fellow founder David Daniels was driving the bus.
Nice.
Unfortunately, he drove it into the entrance gates of the Knowsley Park and bust the windows.
Oh.
So that was, the bill was astronomical for that. I hope David Daniels doesn't mention this.
He's going to hear that and think, he's going to be like, I thought we forgot about that. I thought we moved on. Oh, dear. Did the event go well, though?
The event went well, yeah. The event went well. It was sunny in the sun. Everything was great.
That's good. Oh, but I bet you were just thinking that is going to be a big bill whilst you were racing.
Yeah.
That's so
good. There's another one that just when you're talking about things like on the subject. We're still trying to get it going again, but we had a winter Grand Prix and a summer Grand Prix. Now, the summer Grand Prix was a 2-mile event, which was held around Jesmond Dean. And the idea behind Grand Prix races is, you know, like a motor racing Grand Prix when like the fastest driver goes off last. So with the runners, so the slower runners would go off first and the faster runners would take off after them.
Mm.
So this was the idea to give everyone a chance of winning on the Grand Prix. So the winter Grand Prix, which was which I mapped out as an exact 5K course as per my Garmin, down the quayside. The first time that ever we ever done that was like, I think it was about October 2011. It was pitch black, and I had gotten in touch with, because the route of that 5K Grand Prix course went along the quayside, over the swing bridge, under the Gateshead side, back over the Millennium Bridge, and then you finish along beside the army place that's down there.
Yeah.
So I had got in touch with the council about the Millennium Bridge, just to make sure that it wasn't going to open. It's 7 o'clock when all the runners are going to be there, you know.
Yeah.
So they said, no, it's fine. There's no plans for the Millennium Bridge to be opening tonight. So I thought, oh, happy days. So
days,
at the time for me, I had my mother-in-law who was 70. She was one of the marshals from the swing bridge. We had our next-door neighbour as a marshal because we didn't really know that many people that would do the job. So I was just getting any Tom, Dick or Harry to be a marshal and tell them which just direct the runners and which way to go. So my next door neighbour was standing below the swing bridge. So it's like marshalling so they could point the runners to go over the swing bridge on the Gateshead side.
Yeah.
So I'm standing here talking to, I think it must have been about 50 runners on the first Winter Grand Prix. And I'm telling them which way to go, you know, on the race, and my phone's going in my pocket. Who's that? What did they ring me for? This, you know, I've told everyone at work, and everyone knows that I'm got this race on tonight, you know. So I'm, you know, I'm saying, you know, you run straight along, follow the route. The marshals will tell you where to go. You know, I'm just sort of doing the race director's thing at the start of a race, what you do. And like I say, my phone's just going and going. So I set the runners off. And I says, right, I'll get my phone now. So I get the phone and there's my next door neighbour shouting frantically down the phone. The swing bridge has opened. I says, what? I says, how could the swing bridge is open? There's 50 runners coming along going across the swing bridge. So I'm shouting and bawling.
Yeah.
I says to Dave Daniels, who was helping us to organise this race, did you not check that the swing did work? Because I didn't think it did, you know. So, I checked that the Millennium Bridge wasn't going to open, but not the swing bridge. So my next door neighbour had to direct all the runners back. So the first ever Grand Prix race wasn't a 5K race, it was about more like a 4K race and just an out and back.
Oh, but they turned around
below the swing bridge, you know.
That's nuts. I didn't know that the swing bridge opened. I didn't know that either. I did that,
Nate.
That's so funny.
After that, we always rang them up to make sure that it wasn't going to open.
Yeah.
And it's never ever opened since either. That's the only one time I've ever known it to
open. Funny. That you can look back at that and laugh, but that must have felt so embarrassing.
Oh, it was so stressful, you know. All the organisation that went into it, you know, and then it just gets spoiled by that.
Dear me.
It just so happened that it opened right at that time that the runners were setting up as well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. Oh, goodness me. Wow. Oh, man, you got some good stories there, man. And I just love it's something that you can look back on. And, like, yeah, there must have been tough times, but as well, there's been lots of positives as well. And I wonder, what do you think the best thing about the club is?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt, the best thing about the club is friendships. You know, I mean, it's a diverse club. There's people from all walks of life. We've had brain surgeons there, you know. We've had just any trade you can think of. People that don't work have been there. And everyone is treated the same. And that's the good thing about it, you know. So,
yeah.
And friendships are made, there's marriages have happened because
really?
Of the meeting there. Wow. I mean, the current two captains of the club, Alistair and Becky Blaine, you know the name, there you go, both got the same name, married, yeah. So they met the club and there's been a few people that's got married at the club through meeting at Tynebridge Harriers. So that's got to be the most positive thing.
That's so excellent, man. That's just something I say it a lot, but the community, the running community is so good up here. And the fact that in the club, like the community is that tight, it just sounds like the place to be. What would you say then overall is the biggest thing that you've learned about yourself through running over the years and also through founding or being a co-founder of a running club?
I think through running, what it's made me as a person, it's given us discipline. And that discipline sort of transfers through to other things in your life, you know. I mean, my work ethic is really good. I don't think I would have achieved half the things that I've done if I hadn't been a runner.
Wow.
I think it's because when you're training for something specific, you know, like a race, you become like regimental and disciplined to yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you know that you can achieve something in running, that transfers into your life. So, I mean, I'm doing a degree at the minute. And I'm 54 next month, you know. And, this is because I work a lot of night shifts, you know, and I'm in the future, I want to try and look into, you know, doing other things. So I'm doing a degree.
Mm.
I don't think I would have done that if I hadn't had all this training practically all my life. And all this discipline through running.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good.
And I find that with a lot of members at Tamebridge are like that as well. You know, I'm not dissing people that don't run, but it seems to be a lot of people who do run are high achievers in other things.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. Can you see where I'm coming from?
I agree. It seems to be a lot of people that do like physical exercise, especially when it comes to running. I talk about this all the time, but I did the Great North Run and it was a difficult race last year. But what I noticed was like even just pushing on whilst knowing that this is painful, but being like, I need to finish this, I need to get this done. And that sort of determination obviously transfers into other areas of your life. And so it makes sense that a lot of people that are high achievers are runners. A lot of people that have that drive and discipline are runners.
Yeah.
Because it just comes from that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about through being a co-founder of the club? What did that teach you?
Well, I mean, it's made us proud because, you know, like, if anyone brings up running, the first thing that I say is, do you know Tamebridge Harriers? And yes. They say, yeah, I'm one of the founders, you know, and I try not to be big-headed about it. But
yeah, but it's something to be proud of, isn't it?
At the same time, I feel really proud about it, you know, and like how big the club's become.
Yeah.
I'm like I said before, I'm not on the committee now, but they've got great guys in there.
Yeah.
Now running the club.
Yeah.
Tremendously. Just leaving it, you know, it's always time to move on for others to take on you know, and continue the success of Tamebridge.
Yeah, exactly. So what have your roles been over the years at the club?
I was men's captain for 5 years, which the last time I was talking to Alistair Blaine, who's the current captain, he seems to think that he just overtook the length of my reign. So he's now been the longest ever men's captain. I was men's captain for 5 years.
Yeah.
I was team manager for 3 years in race. Secretary for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, you take these roles on the committee, it's like roles that you give each other.
Yeah.
At the AGM, you know, so all mucking together, you know, just because I had them roles, I mean, see, I got those other people's, other committee members stepped in and help out all the time, you know. And,
Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. And I think, I keep thinking, I don't know why I haven't said this, but like starting a club in a place where you got a club like Gateshead Harriers, who are obviously massive and have huge heritage, and you got places like Morpeth, and you got all these clubs that are so historic. Starting a club, did you actually think that you were going to be able to make a mark at the start?
Not at all. When we started it off, you know, the idea came from Kenny, and I didn't take it seriously at the start when it was just when he mentioned the four we were out in South Shields that day. I didn't take it that seriously, you know. I started looking into a few things, but it wasn't until we had the meeting in that house at Gosforth I was telling you about. When it became real, when the enthusiasm, when Kenny mentioned it again, about the enthusiasm and the belief in that room. You could feel it, you know, and none of us knew it was going to get this big. I think probably most of us would have thought it would have just been hardcore of us like training together, you know, from like from the coast, from Wall's End, and from like over the town way, you know, like the three areas where people were from at that meeting. Not really thinking that other like outsiders, if you like, would come to it, but
And I think it's easy to underestimate or to overlook the hard work that would have gone into that, because like you said, you were at the park runs, you were putting things in the flyers and in the newspapers and all that sort of stuff for a while, like trying to get the name out there, and it was something you'd always talk about. And I'm assuming you were doing that all as a volunteer as well. You had another job. That's hardcore. That's a massive sacrifice. And yeah, I think it's like, even if you don't say it like that, I think it's important that people that are listening that do run for the club recognize the sacrifice and the hard work that you guys put in the early days to get the club to where it is, and obviously as people join to help make the club more credible. So congratulations on that. And
thank you very much, Tommy. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely.
And I mean, I'm just one person's voice of the, you know, sort of how I've seen Tamebridge Harriers take off, you know what I mean, and being there from the start type of thing. So other people might have I don't know, a different experience than me, but this is all how it happened with me, you know.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's like, running is fun and it's the club and everyone's like, oh, look, I'm part, like you got a vest and you do the races and you win things, but it's really life-changing as well. Like I was mentioning to you before, obviously I know a few guys from where I work, Finn Brody, Mikey, who we were talking about a couple minutes ago, whose lives have literally changed because of joining the running club. Who, like Finn, who's an excellent runner now, it was Kenny that got him into the running, and now he's won countless races, runs 14-minute 5Ks, sub-30 10s and all that sort of stuff. Mikey, who loves running now and is just chasing up PB after PB at the moment. Like, it's crazy, and it's a different way that, like, you can change somebody's life from an unhealthy lifestyle to a healthy lifestyle through running. And you've been able to facilitate that along with the other founders and the rest of the club. And I think it's so good that I think it's important to recognize that as well.
I mean, the reason why Mikey's running so well now is because he's took the backpack off that he used to run with all the time.
I've run with him a few times. Every time I run with him, he's wearing that backpack. So
he used to tell me I remember the first day he came at meeting at the hub at the time, because of the COVID rules, and he came down into the car park at the hub and says, "Oh, is this Tamebridge Harriers, you know?" And that Finn Brody had recommended that he comes down, and by the sounds of it, he's never looked back since.
Yeah.
And lost his backpack.
And lost his backpack, exactly. That's so funny. Oh, awesome. Well, look, we're coming towards the end of this, but before we do, I always do the Find Your Fire round, which is, there's a few questions that I've got prepared for you. And I think it's just good to get to know you a bit more and just to see what's going on inside your head. So are you ready to give it a go, Paul?
Yeah, no bother.
Perfect. All right. So first question is, what is a race that you personally always wanted to run?
The hill race in Malag, where Kenny McPherson is from.
Malag.
Malag. It's in the outer regions of Scotland.
Okay.
Mallaig. I'm determined to run that race as soon as I get a bit fitter with Kenny.
Okay, perfect. All right, I'll look into that one. Okay, what about a location or a scenery that you've always wanted to run in?
Well, I've done the Gold Coast Marathon in 2018,
yeah,
in Australia. So, I mean, that's perfect scenery, yeah, and area for me. So, I've probably, I don't know, things like the New York. I'd like to run in big cities like that. You know, not marathons. Well, I'm done with marathons. I can do halves, but I'm not doing any more marathons. So yeah, somewhere like the big cities, I'd like to run around there.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. All right. Rank for me from your favorite to least favorite cross country road and track.
My least favorite run that I've ever had is the coastal run, the Beadle to Allenmouth. Now, everyone says that's the most scenic race in the world, but to me it was the worst experience of my life. I went off too quick. I was inexperienced. I mean, it was 2002, I think, when I'd done it, running on sand to begin with, and I just absolutely hit the wall after about 3 miles. And there's no going back either. You've got to make it from Beadle to Allenmouth, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to sort of walk and run. It took us like 2.5 hours or something, you know. And it was just,
yeah, me.
Just so. Even though people say that's a beautiful race, it was horrible for me.
Yeah, that sounds rough. Okay. I didn't even ask you this earlier. What is your favorite race that you've competed in?
I like doing the Great North Runs.
Yeah.
I've done about 12 of them. And I've actually got a ticket, an entry this year as well. I got in through the ballot.
First
time for years that I've been successful, you know. What I forgot to mention, Tommy, there as well, and kick myself for this. Tynbridge Harriers in 2015 won the Great Club Challenge, and that was during the Great North Run. Now it's we're 14 of a club are counted in this team challenge, and they actually won a trip to Ethiopia.
Oh, so nice.
I wasn't there, so I was injured, so I wasn't there, so this is why I haven't highlighted it. All those listening that went to Ethiopia from Tynbridge, my apologies. But yeah, so I mean, as achievements for the club, and something which I wish I had been part of was the great Ethiopian 10K run that the club got invited to do.
Yeah.
Through Brendan Foster and Co. in the Great North Run.
Yeah.
For winning that, you know.
That's awesome. Wow. Ethiopia.
We've also had international representation for the club as well, veterans.
Really? You
know, Kenny McPherson's run for Scotland. Steve Kens has run for Ireland. And Terry Scott, he runs for.
Of course. He runs for
veterans as well, you know. So,
yeah. Wow,
I got in the reserve team once. That's as high as I am.
we had Terry on, that must have been coming up to 2 years ago.
Yeah,
that was a really good one. He's done a lot. Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. What's your favorite race that you've ever seen?
The favorite race I've ever seen, it was the one with Seb Coe and Steve Ovett, the 1500 meters. I think it was Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just tremendous. In your words, awesome. I would say that race. I mean, I remember watching that when I was at school, you know, just a young lad, and it just,
yeah,
it just meant everything, you know, and it just, so emotional. Brilliant race.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, love it, love it. All right. What are your favorite running shoes?
Mizuno.
Yeah, Mizuno guy.
I'm a great believer in, if it's not broke, don't fix it, because I've had loads of injuries in the past, and I always blame me trainers. And so for the last, so lately, I've never been injured wearing Mizuno. So yeah. I'll just keep it then.
Stick with it, yeah.
I'll probably change the brand then.
Yeah, fair enough. Who's your favourite athlete?
Favourite athlete, Sebko.
Sebko, yeah. Yeah. He's a legend, isn't he? So, makes sense. Yeah. Do you like any other sports apart from running?
I used to be able to be football, but I haven't been there lately. I used to go to the match all the time when I was when I was a bit younger, seeing Newcastle, but I haven't been for quite a while.
Who's your favourite footballer ever?
Well, my favourite, my idol was Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
At the Newcastle match when he was the manager of Newcastle, you know. I used to go to the matches then.
Okay.
So he was my idol, Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
Plus I used to like watching him on Superstars, you know, when that time when he was on a race and he fell off his bike on the
athlete. Oh dear. Man. Okay, a couple more questions. Do you have a favourite book?
I don't read a lot, Tommy.
Fair enough.
I haven't really in that. I mean, I do read a lot. Like I say, I'm doing a degree at the minute, so I have to, but
yeah.
As a rule, no, I've never read a book. When I was a kid, I used to read things like Enid Blyton and you know, the famous five and things like that, but I've never read a book for quite a while.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well then, how about a favourite movie?
Movies, if you're talking about like things like on Netflix, like Breaking Bad and Ozark.
Yeah.
When I was younger, my favourite film that I used to watch time and time again on the Ferguson old video stores was The Good, the Bad, the Ugly by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Variety. It's a variety of stuff, to be fair. All right. Let's ask this one, actually. Who's one person that you want to hear on this podcast?
I would like to hear a lad called Mark Allison on. Now, I don't know if you know Run Jody Run.
Run Jody Run.
Yeah, Run Jody Run. He's a guy that I got in touch with in the early days in 2011. And he had just run across America, raising loads of money for charity. Oh. And he was at work club for a few years. So he's got quite a few stories to tell about what he's done, the areas he's run. He's run for John O'Groats to Land's End. He's run across America. He's run across Europe. He's run across Australia, you know.
Yeah.
So I would like to see him on here.
Yeah, Mark Allison. I'll reach out to him and see if we can arrange something. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, what's one thing that's still on your bucket list?
I'd just like to see more of the world for me.
Yeah.
You know, after the lockdown and all that, really busy this year doing things. So as from next year, I think I'm going to like step back from like working as much as I do and try and get out there and see more of the world.
Yeah, that's really good. And finally, do you have any hidden talents?
Well, I done my own loft conversion last year. So that's everything. That's all the timbers, all the electrics, plumbing.
That's
everything.
Pretty good.
The only thing I didn't do was the plastering. And just last week I got it passed off by the building inspector. So I've done it right as well. Thank you very much.
Good job. That's awesome. Wow. Thank you so much, Paul. Before we finish, do you have any advice for anyone that's getting into running and wants to be really good at it?
Well, I'll join a club, because if you join a club, you've got like-minded people. And it's so much more enjoyable when you're with people when you're running. And take advice off coaches, and you need to enjoy it as well, and don't take it. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah, word. That's really good. Awesome. Well, listen, guys. Firstly, actually, Paul, where can we find you on social media, and obviously Timebridge Harriers?
Yeah, Timebridge Harriers have got a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook.
Just Paul Hilton on Facebook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. So check out Timebridge Harriers Facebook page. And if you want to connect with Paul, I'm sure he'd be happy to chat on Facebook. Make sure you follow Ardent Run Club on Instagram and at This Is Ardent on all of our social media for updates on this podcast and us over here at Ardent. And subscribe to Ardent Run Club so you can be the first to know when the new weekly episodes come out. Any last words, Paul?
No, just thanks for the opportunity to tell my version of the Timebridge Harriers story, Tommy. And I hope you pass your test next time, and good luck with your running.
Thanks so much, Paul. Well, listen, guys, this has been Ardent Run Club, episode 66 with Paul Hilton. Hope you learned something, hope you've been inspired, and I hope you find your fire. See you next time.